But he is also very attractive. I should say sambandha is the element of the position, and then there is the element of attraction. So both have to be established. So therefore, then he mentions it. He's the source of all knowledge. So everything we want to know in sambandha gyan comes from him. There.
Just grammatically, should it be master of all others or and all others?
I mean, you can say, but they're trying to emphasize that he's the only master, and others are all the others are servants. So he's the only master. Otherwise, it looks like Brahma's a master, Shiva's a master, everybody's a master. Mm-hmm. But technically, only he's a master, everyone else is a servant. Right? To those below them, they may be masters, but ultimately, they don't stand as masters on their own. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. Is that nice? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so then we're going through Paramatma, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, and showing that they're all coming from Krishna. The Brahma Jyoti is even just, he's giving us the effulgence of his planetary system, so it's not given much importance. Right, then Paramatma, that's a portion of Krishna. So then Sri Krishna, then everything is perfect, right? And then the material energy, don't bother them so much. Because if you get them angry, see, if you're not upset, they don't bother you. They'll just come and check, what's there, and then go off. Because if you hit them, they produce a sound that these others hear. This one's over there, and then they come and attack. So not a good system. Then it says, right, and then the material nature is created by Krishna's vision, right? Whose visual projection, the vast universe was created by nature. Just by his looking, it was created. Right? So, in other words, everything's coming from him. He's the master of all. He's the master of everyone in the material world. All the different demigods, all the great personalities, including Brahma and Shiva. He has created this world, and the Brahma Jyoti is then just an effulgence of the spiritual world. The Paramatma is also just his portion, so that leaves Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, so that's the first point that's being established. Okay, is that all other emanations are all emanations of him. In other words, everything is coming from him. Spiritual, material, everything. Right. Then the next one is then we deal with his potencies. Aspect 2. That Sri Hari is omnipotent. Right. So here we see is that the first sentence is his thesis. Right. There exists an inconceivable subordinate potency of Hari, non-different from Hari. He is the spiritual power as internal potency, the illusory power as external potency, and the living entity power as marginal potency. He is created Vaikuntha and other positions through the spiritual power, infinite universes through the illusory power, and infinite living entities through the living entity power. That subordinate potency has three aspects, known as Sandini, material aspects, Samvit, aspects of relation with Godhead, and Vladini, aspects of amusement. Right, so here we're getting even another perspective on this Samvit, Sandini, and Vladini, what they're dealing with. So Sandini is giving the material because its reflection then becomes the mode of ignorance. So it's not that the Sandini potency only deals with the material, but the Sandini potency, then its reflection is ignorance, which is the basis of the material world. Right, and then at the same time as Sandini in the spiritual world is the form that you see. Does that make sense? The trees, the cows, the land, everything, that's Sandini. So the same way is that ignorance then reflects here and it creates the forms of this world. So your earth, water, fire, air, like this is coming is an expansion of the reflection of the Sandini potency. Right? So just like Samvit, then aspects of relationship with Godhead. So on the transcendental platform, then Samvit is relationship with Godhead, that interaction with Godhead. Like that. So the proper understanding and the proper activity being performed for the Lord's pleasure, that's your Samvit potency. Right? Then in this world, that Samvit will then reflect as your, how do you say? The aspect of relationships here. So if you don't have proper knowledge and you don't have proper understanding of the application of the relationships and everything, then they won't work. Right? And then Ladini is the aspect of amusement there. So here it's based on, you know, on attachment, on lust. Right? It's not based on attachment to Krishna, it's based on love. So this perversion. So in the basic thing here is then how we're describing Sandini will take care of the material aspect. Samvit will take care of aspects of relationship with Godhead. Ladini is the aspects of amusement. You'll also notice here, then you'll get the element that he's established that he has an inconceivable subordinate potency which is non-different from him. Right? And then this then has expansions of internal, external, and marginal, right? So, yeah. So he's inferring here the Sarup Shakti, which is the complete potency. This is his complete Godhead, is the complete potency. So then there's divisions within that. Then we see here the internal, external, and marginal. Then also we see here in the Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. Sandini is representing the external. Ladini, the internal. Samvit, the marginal, or in between. Where the relationship is there. Means you're dealing as in between the two. Right? So that's also the natural situation of the jiva. He's an expansion of the Samvit potency. Right? Does this make sense? So everything is always consistent. Everything can be explained through these three principles, the Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, with these same potencies. Right? It's just that because everything's coming from them, that means then there's so many varied aspects of looking at it. Right? You know, one of them, that's good. But knowing, you know, the broader you know, the more you can understand its application. Right? Otherwise, the tendency is that we know a little bit, and then what falls outside of that, we don't know what to do with it. Because we have an idea it only means this. No, that's a part that we know. So Vichar is looking at it from different angles, right? So what's coming out here is then he's bringing it closer in this second part. You know, he's defined it technically in the first part, now he's bringing it closer in the second part of our use, our how we see it, how we can work with it, right? It's okay? Aspect 3. That Sri Krishna as Hari is the ocean of all sorts of mellows, passive of neutral, Shantaras mellow, serving Dasyaras mellow, friendly Sakyaras mellow, parental Vatsayarasa mellow, and conjugal Madhuryarasa mellow are the five tastes. Of all the tastes of mellows, conjugal mellow is the best one. In the pastimes of Sri Krishna at Brajabhumi, or Brajadam, it is this conjugal mellow that stands supreme with all its sanctity. Sri Krishna is radiant with 64 qualities, namely, right, now that he's the ocean of rasa, and so that means all mellows are coming to him. So the point is, he's the supreme person, he's the source of everything. At the same time, every living entity has a natural relationship with him, right? Through the Samvit. So it's an active relationship, because that's also the position of Abhideya, right? So then, now, how those pastimes will take place, then that is a matter of his qualities, right? So then these qualities that are mentioned. One, beautiful features of the entire body. Suryam Yonga, marked with all auspicious characteristics, Sarva Salakshana Yukta, extremely pleasing, Sundar, effulgent, Mahateja, strong, Valavan, ever youthful, Kishore Vayasa Yukta, wonderful linguist, Vividha Adbhut Bhasha Jana, Bhasha Gya, truthful, Satyavak, talks pleasingly, Priyavakya, fluent, Vakpatu, highly learned, Supandit, highly intelligent, Budhiman. Let's get it. Budhiman. Budhiman. Highly learned. One of the things of highly learned is mentioned that it means a combination of academic knowledge and character. Right? If those two are together, then you're called highly learned. If you have good academic knowledge, you're called a scholar. You have good character, you're called morally stout. But when the two are combined, that's called highly learned. So you see, Prabhupada uses this a lot. Sudama Vipra was referred to as highly learned. So it means these two. It doesn't mean he's just so much academic ability. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty with education that's only academic. Because then you will develop your scholarly ability, you know, knowledge, understanding. But if it doesn't come with character, it doesn't, it's not, how do you say it? It may be weak in its application, right? Because it won't be able to be practiced in your life, so it will not give you realization. A genius, Pratibhayukta, artistic, Vidagdha, extremely clever, Chatur, expert, Daksha, grateful, Kritagya. Right? So even though he's the source of everything, the creator of everything, he's still grateful for anything that anybody interacts with him. Right. Firmly determined, Surida Vrata. Right. So even if you haven't done, you could do something for him, then he's waiting for it patiently. Right. Therefore, the material world's been created for us to figure out what we're supposed to be doing. An expert judge of time and circumstance, Desh Kala Patragya, sees and speaks on the authority of Vedas or scriptures, Shastragya. Right, so this is one of Krishna's 64 qualities, remember. These are the main qualities given by Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion. So he sees and speaks on the authority of the Vedas. So that's not just here, because always these are given, the examples are given in past times with his devotees. Pure, Suchi, self-controlled, Vasi, steadfast, steer, forbearing, Damanashil, forgiving, Shamashil, grave, Gambhir, self-satisfied, Dhritiman, possessing equilibrium, Samadarshan, magnanimous, Varanya, religious, dharmic, heroic, Sura, compassionate, Karun, respectful, Marana, gentle, Dakshin, liberal, Vinayi, shy, Lajayukta, protector of surrendered souls, Sharanagata, Palaka, happy, Sukhi, the well-wisher of devotees, Bhaktabandhu, controlled by love, Premavasya, all auspicious, Sarva Sukhari, most powerful, Pratapi, all famous, Kirtiman, popular, Lokanurakta, partial to devotees, Sarudhigar Samashram, very attractive to all women, Nari Manohari, all worshipable, Sarvaradhya, all opulent, Samridhiman, all honorable, Shreshta, the supreme controller, Aishwarya Yukta. Besides all of the above mentioned 50 qualities, Lord Sri Krishna possesses 5 more, which are sometimes partially manifested in the persons of Lord Brahma or Shiva. These transcendental qualities are as follows. In other words, these first 50 are what the living entities have in some part. So you see, as all those different things there of being, speaking according to Shastra, intelligent, having character, being shy, being all these different things are natural characteristics. So to militate against those is being unnatural in the nature of the soul, right? That's one aspect. Another aspect is, if you want to associate with Krishna, it's natural that you have the same qualities, right? We don't have them in the unlimited fashion that he does, but in a small portion, So all these things are natural that the devotee would develop them in his pursuance of devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? So that means we wouldn't start out with very attractive to all women and the supreme controller. We would start with other ones. Right? Like that. One, yes.
What would mean possessing equilibrium?
Equilibrium. He's not disturbed in if good things happen or if bad things happen.
Liberal.
You mean you want to know if he runs on the Democratic ticket? Liberal means he's very, you know, broad. Here for us, liberal means broad-minded. You're able to accommodate whatever position someone's in and find something useful in it, and then applying that element of time, place, and circumstance with always acts according to Shastra. Like that, then you come across as something very useful for everybody. Okay. Because it's always when you apply something, it's a combination of these things. That's what makes it nice. It's not just one. Sometimes one may be prominent, then you'll say that. But at the same time, as most all activities and interaction is a combination.
Right? Also, to be able to appreciate somebody else, like Krishna appreciate living entity, who is actually not infinitely small, then he must be liberal kind of like to,
yeah,
to be,
yeah,
able to live.
Someone so big can appreciate someone so small. So this concept is not, Dr. Seuss didn't come up with something new. Okay, now the next five qualities that Krishna always has them, but sometimes they're partially manifested in Brahma or Shiva, depending upon their qualification. Changeless, sarvada swarupa samprapta, all cognizant, sarvagya, ever fresh, nitya nutan, possessing an eternal blissful body, sachidananda garibhuta swarup, possessing all mystic perfections, akila siddhi, vasakari, ataye sarva, siddhi nishevita. Okay. Krishna also possesses five other qualities which are manifest in the body of Narayana, and they are listed as followed, right? So the 50 qualities are there in the living entity. The next five is there in full in Vishnu, and in occasionally in something in Brahma and Shiva.
What's the meaning of changeless?
Changeless. Your position, everything is always there. Brahma is always Brahma. It doesn't change like that. You know, because it's not the body, because here's the eternal useful body. Even if it's material, it doesn't change. It's always the same. Brahma always looks the same. Shiva always looks the same. You know, the mood. It's not that one day you come and he's, you know, one way and another day is something else. Like we see sometimes we see in the material world is you'll know somebody and let's say, you know, with time or situations, then the mood changes and it's like they're a different person. Right? So they're never like that. They're always the same. You can always depend upon.
So it relates more to the post or the body actually?
I would think it's more just the mood that we'd have to see. If you want to get into very detail, we'll have to get nectar devotion. No.
Because Yamaraj, doing his duty of judgment, he has to be a servant here.
To some degree, but he only knows what's in relationship with what the human beings have done. But he doesn't know everything everywhere, like that, like Krishna does. You know, he just has to deal with all the human beings that would be under his jurisdiction. Like that. So in there, he's in other words, he would be empowered with some part of this, but not to this degree. You wouldn't consider it as a major thing. Because his secretaries, they write everything down. You know, so they have that potency. He's everywhere, but it doesn't mean he knows what's going on everywhere. You know, it's just like we may walk around everywhere, we don't know what's happening, you know, so it's like, it's just to that degree of what it means, all cognizance. You know, like something's going on here, Brahma knows about it and he comes down like that, you know, so that kind of a thing. Okay. Krishna also possesses five other qualities which are manifest in the body of Narayana, and they are listed as follows. He has inconceivable potency, avichintya maha shaktivat, shaktitva. Uncountable universes generate from his body, koti brahmanda vigrahatva. He is the original source of all incarnations, sakala avatar vijatva. He is the giver of salvation to the enemies whom he kills, hata shatru shugati dayakatva. He is the attractor of liberated souls, atmaram ganer akshar akar shatva. Right now, here you notice it's atva, means this is the nature of, you know, means so that's different. You can see then these ones before, he knows, so he knows everything, this, that. Here it means he is the, you know, the essence of it. He is that. You know, it's like you say somebody's, you know, the childness. That's different, that's even deeper than the child, right? So here, so that indicates that aspect. So in other words, inconceivable potency-ness. You know what I'm saying? So we can see it's in a different category. So that's why this changeless, all cognizant, ever fresh, all these things, they could be also manifest in Brahma or Shiva. It's not a big deal. It's big to us, but compared to now what we're getting into Narayana, that's like, we're talking unlimited potency here. This is like, these are big potencies, but not unlimited, because they only know their own area. Does that make sense? Well, Krishna knows everything. Besides, so that then, Mahanarayan has in full, Narayan will have, you know, manifest in great, you know, power, a great amount. Like that. But then Krishna, then beyond Mahanarayan, then besides these 60 transcendental qualities, Sri Krishna has four more, which are not manifest even in the Narayan form of Godhead. What to speak of the demigods or living entities? They are as follows. He is the performer of wonderful varieties of pastimes, especially his childhood pastimes. Sarva Loker, Chamat Karini, Lilar, Kalol Samudra. Right here, Samudra means the ocean. That is the ocean of wonderful pastimes. He is surrounded by devotees and endowed with wonderful love of Godhead. Shringara Raser Atulya Prema Shvobha Vishishta Prema Mandal. So mandala means is, you know, it's round, right? So he'll be the center of this mandala of loving devotees. He can attract all living entities all over the universes by playing on his flute. Sri Jagatair Chikakshari Murati Gita Gan. 4. He has a wonderful excellence of beauty that cannot be rivaled anywhere in the creation. I mean, the term of that's Anir Desiyavahu. Adding to the list these four exceptional qualities of Sri Krishna, it is to be understood that the aggregate number of qualities of Krishna is 64. Right? So through these 64, then all the rasa is happening. Right? So these qualities are what is attracting. Why these would be given? Because he has all these qualities, devotees are attracted by these qualities, right? As the ashray. And so then they will draw from him those different qualities in his manifest interaction with them. Does that make sense? So then these would naturally be, you know, the qualities, because he's an ocean of rasa, so through these 64 qualities, then rasa is happening. So this is the base. It means your what do you call it? Vibhava. Right? What is the cause of being attracted to Krishna? Aspect 4. In the preceding three aspects, knowledge about Godhead is introduced. In the fourth, fifth, and sixth aspects, knowledge about living entities is being narrated. An appraisal of constitutional position of living entities is contained in the fourth aspect. The living entity is manifested in different forms, just like lightning lighting up an infinite number of small lamps from the supreme lamp under the influence of marginal potency of Sri Krishna's subordinate power or energy. Although a living entity is constitutionally spiritual and is provided with spiritual propensities, it is very, very infinitesimal and dependent in nature. Owing to such dependent nature, Krishna averseness develops, leading to domination by illusion. The distinction between Godhead, right? See, here he says Krishna averseness develops, leading to domination by illusion. Right? So here again, the averseness is coming, then the domination. Does that make sense? So what is aversion? Right? So therefore, using the terms jealousy or envy is not a problem. Right? Because they're so small, they're dependent. Then they can easily develop these qualities if, here, they're constitutional. Although a living entity is constitutionally spiritual and provided with spiritual propensities, means it's spiritual by nature, constitutionally, and given all kinds of spiritual propensities, still it may develop this Krishna averseness, which leads to domination by illusion. Right? Did you catch that? So, we should understand this. It's just a simple point that's being given. It's one of the Dasa Mool. So it's not something to, you know, how you say? I don't know what the term would be, but, you know, it wouldn't be the point on which you would make as the crux of your whole, like, you know, how you say, understanding or spiritual position or standing. You understand? The distinction between Godhead and living entity is that although both of them are constitutionally situated on the spiritual platform, but by nature, the one who is the controller and master of illusion, which is serving him eternally, is the Godhead. One who is susceptible to domination of illusion, even when in a liberated position, and is an immaculate in form, is a living entity, right? So, susceptible to domination of illusion, even when in a liberated position. Does that make sense? Liberated position, he's not saying prema. Because prema is not referred to as liberation. Right? When we're dealing with the nine Navaprameyas, then we'll say that developing one's relationship with Godhead or entering the spiritual world, you know, from the material world, you go there, that then we would take as actual liberation. But the whole point is that position of liberation is also a marginal position. Right? One can go there and come back here. Or, as we see here, one can start there and come here. So this whole idea, how could you be liberated, how could you be this, how could you be that? Because they're taking it actually that the illusion is actually something of substance. But if illusion has no substance, what is left when you remove illusion? The spiritual, right? So, but the spiritual then we see has different qualities. That of Brahman, that of Paramatma, that of Bhagavan. Right? So the natural position of the living entity is to be related to Godhead through in the Bhagavan aspect. But liberated means Brahman, not Bhagavan. Does that make sense? So prema means Bhagavan. So when one situated in prema, that living entity does not fall. But if one's not situated in prema, there's the possibility. Right? Yes. Nityasiddha means that they made that decision from that position, constitutionally spiritual position. Then they chose that. Right? And the ones that didn't, they developed this aversion to Krishna. And so then that left to domination by illusion. So those are called the Nityabada. Right? Because when they came in, this one no one can count. So to get all, you know, to base the whole philosophy over the word anadi, you got to have nothing better to do. The point is you've been here, because if we take anadi, meaning that is eternal, that you were always from here, then anadi would also have to mean you're always going to be here. So how is it that it ends and you can become liberated from the material nature? So as it has an end, right, and the spiritual has a beginning, so we have to understand eternal. So the one is, we don't know the beginning, but it has an end. The other one, it has a beginning, but it has no end. So to argue over that, therefore, anadi means you always had to be here, that you're part and parcel of this place, you got to have nothing better to do with your grammatical prowess. Because here they're mentioning the point, Krishna adverseness. Constitutionally spiritual, provided with spiritual potencies, but owing to a dependent nature, Krishna averseness develops, leading to domination by illusion. Right. The problem was you weren't dependent upon Krishna. Because you're dependent by nature, you either have to be dependent on Krishna. If you're not, then you'll become dependent on the material nature. So simply one has to reverse that. You have the determination to be dependent upon Krishna. Then when you get to the liberated state, you'll just keep going in that direction and develop prema. Why would you do something else? You know what I'm saying? Like that. Because, yes.
Okay, here the second sentence, the third sentence, living entities manifest in different forms, just like lighting up an infinite number of small lamps from the Supreme Lamp under the influence of the marginal potency of Sri Hari's subordinate power of energy. So, marginal potency, under the influence of marginal potency, this means that marginal potency is separate from the soul and the soul is within marginal potency.
Yes. Somebody, what is this? He?
Because it says under the influence of marginal potency of Hari, there are lamps under the influence.
So what's the point? What's your point?
The question is if the soul is the marginal potency, which usually you think like that.
Like you have gold and you have a gold mine, what's the problem? The drop of water from the ocean is not different from the ocean, but at the same time as the ocean is different from the drop of water. Drop of water is not the ocean. What's your point? Not what's the question, what's your point?
I don't understand. sentence.
You don't understand the sentence. It means Lord has a potency and the jivas are manifest from that potency. It's like you have the material potency and this place here is manifest from that. So you don't have a problem with that part of the explanation. Or you have the internal potency and the spiritual world is manifest from that. You don't have a problem with that. So why should you have a problem with this? That there's something, that the potency that's in between these two. Right? That's spiritual by inherently spiritual. But it is the connection between the internal and the external. Does that make sense?
Is moksha a part of samsara?
If you're not a devotee, yes. Yeah, because we use the term liberation. It's the same thing. But when we say liberation for devotees, that's Brahma-bhuta. Because that means then you're on the liberated platform with the idea of developing your love for Krishna. Does that make sense?
My question is like this way that so in samsara there is.
Is that a restaurant or?
So in samsara is.
It's a song. It's a movie. It's a novel. I mean, like in the morning, samsara dava navadeva loka, the song.
No, it's a dharma accomplishment.
Okay.
So
we always talk about that, that's the material sphere.
Yeah, that's
so why that wouldn't be then samsara? Are you attributing some special quality to moksha that takes it out of these four? But that's Brahman. Liberation is the situation of the living entity in Brahman. So it's not that the Brahma Jyoti is part of samsara. Okay. But that's a location. Dharmartha Kama Moksha is a mentality. You know what I'm saying? It's a consciousness. Let's say one of the Lord's associates is here. Where are they situated? You know what I'm saying? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is seeing all the pastimes going on right now. Lord Chaitanya is the son. You were sitting here also. And we just see that, you know, it rained and the road's muddy. And, you know, it's you know, lunch was late and I'm hungry. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the whole idea is that you have the element of, you can be spiritually situated, but even being spiritually situated, you can develop this Krishna averseness if one is not careful, right? So that's why the emphasis is put on prema and not on liberation. Otherwise we think we get the liberation, job's finished. No, there it just, it becomes easier, that's all. If you're liberated, it's easier to deal and remember and serve Krishna than if you're conditioned.
So actually liberation is like
it depends upon your consciousness, because these things are very subtle manifestations. Right? You have to be able to deal with a few different things simultaneously. Means Vaikuntha, they're in the liberated position, simply meaning they're not connected to the material world. Right? Does that make sense? So the spiritual world is in the position of liberation. You know, but liberation is used in as a terminology in connection with the material world. Liberation isn't a spiritual concept. Because in the spiritual world, no one thinks I'm liberated. This is just normal. Liberated, we look at it in relationship to getting out of the material world. Does that make sense? It's called prema. See, this attachment to liberation as a goal has to be given up. And therefore giving it a unique position or some special position. It's a very useful position to get to prema. Because on the liberated platform, one is not under the control of one's conditioned nature. One is naturally situated in the constitutional nature with the spiritual propensities. But now, because you understand what is the material world, you're not going to be interested in it. Therefore, you're going to keep that determination to continue towards Krishna. And then in that state, very quickly, one can develop prema. Does that make sense? The yogis and the impersonalists, they take it as an ultimate goal. So for them, it's a mundane concept. So it's just a matter of going through Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Now they happen to be on the Gyan part. But after a while, then they'll be back to the Karma part. Right? Because if they're liberated, then they get bored. And then what do they think about? Doing something. Where have they ever done anything? In the spiritual world? Have they ever done an activity on the transcendental platform? No. Therefore, they're going to think of material activities. They'll come back to the material world. Does that make sense? So for them, it's just part of samsara. But for the devotee, then being liberated means you're transcendentally situated in the spiritual world, in the Lord's pastimes. And there, then in the association of the eternal associates, you develop that love for Krishna. Then you situate yourself in the spiritual world permanently. Does that make sense? So we'll say that's actually liberation. So this other liberation we're talking about isn't actually liberation. Dharma, Artha, Kama, moksha isn't actually liberation. Right? It's a temporary situation, you know, before you come back to, you know, Dharma, Artha, Kama. Does that make sense? Huh? Kind of.
Maharaj always say that the liberation is defined by Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. Ramakrishna Prasanna Prasanna Sushantina Prasanna Sava Savishu. That's the actual definition of liberation.
Yeah, it means you're not affected by the material world. But just because you're not affected by the material world doesn't mean that you're situated in the spiritual world. You may be on the transcendental platform, just like the impersonalists are counted as transcendentalists, but they're not actually well situated as in the transcendental platform, because until you connect to something, like you jump up in the air, you're not on the ground. But how well are you going to be situated in the air before you come back to the ground? So someone who leaves the ground and connects them to something self that's in the air, then they're not, you understand? So you connect yourself to the spiritual realm, right? To this, you know, to a relationship with Krishna, right? Then you don't come back here. That's why I say once going there, you don't return. But otherwise, the jnanis, they can get out of the material world. But they'll come back because they don't get into the spiritual world. They go to the Brahman, but they don't get anywhere from there. That's as far as they get. You know, and even if they do decide to take a tour and go around, then, you know, there's all kinds of things in the spiritual, protecting the spiritual planets from such people. You know, like Goloka is surrounded by tritons, you know, so if you get too close, then somebody's going to get hurt. Is that okay? Yes? No? Are these... Should I be encouraged by the blank looks? You know, that this is like everybody's deep thought, or okay, well, at least let's try finishing this paragraph. Okay. One who is susceptible to domination of illusion, even when in a liberated position, and is immaculate in form, is a living entity. In other words, the living entity, even on the transcendental platform, could be if they're not in prema, can be influenced by illusion. While Krishna will never be influenced by illusion. Illusion serves him. Right? The living entity is never served by illusion. Does that make sense? In seed form, could say, I've also heard that it's when one comes in the material world, it's kind of like left in the cloakroom, like you leave coats and stuff. Point is whether it's a seed or not, it's, in other words, it's there to take advantage of. That is your spiritual propensities. Right? It's there, but it's a matter if you don't take advantage of it, what does it matter? You know what I'm saying? But you still have to do something with it. Does that make sense? He remains free from illusion only when surrendered unto Krishna, right? So here's the key. When he's surrendered, then he will remain free from illusion. A perfect living entity is characterized with the spiritual embodiment and the 50 qualities enumerated, herein before, are all in existence in him in drops and particles. All these qualities are, of course, spiritual. There should be no existence of illusory propensities or qualities in a perfect living entity. So in other words, he is transcendentally situated and he is always surrendered to Krishna. In that state, all these qualities manifest, and right, so, but that means then they're spiritual because he's on the liberated platform. Otherwise, he wouldn't have any mundane qualities developed. So this is then the position of the perfect living entity. Right? So now we're looking at it basically at perfect and conditioned. Right? We're not looking at the element of the rasa relationship of the living entity with Krishna. Right? That's a detail of the science. Right? That's something more. But here we're just trying to get down the categories of discussion. Right? So in other words, one is situated in the spiritual world. So the living entity can, by neglecting one's relationship with Krishna, come into the material world. By surrendering to Krishna, he can get out of the material world, right? And be situated in a relationship with Krishna, right? So then that's what's being established here. That's the nature of the living entity. Where they've come from, how they got here, how they can get out, right? And these qualities that were enumerated before, of the 64, the first 50, the living entity would naturally develop those in very small amounts, and that would be then, how do you say? Transcendental qualities or spiritual qualities that would be used within the spiritual pastimes. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, so we'll continue with aspect 5 on Monday.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki
Jai.
Goes to Vaikuntha, and he gets the same bodily features as Lord Narayana. Does he get those five other qualities of Shlok Maharaj?
No.
He just has those 50.
He only has those 50. That little bit more.
I can become God.
Bargain.